Scripture reading this morning will be 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. That's 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. And it reads, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust."
Good to see everyone here this morning. As we said at the outset, we're going to do it a little bit different today. And we got a little bit of a late start, so hopefully we won't go too far over. But we do have a meal, so if we do run over a little bit, don't let that worry you. We've got, you can come back and eat with us after we have our lesson this morning. And I've been a little bit under the weather for the last couple of weeks and have had a little bit of trouble focusing, so hopefully I won't get lost this morning as we go through this. But the Bible is filled with promises. There's some calculations run of the verses in the Bible. The total number of verses that are there in the Old Testament is said there's about 23,214 verses. In the New Testament, almost 7,959 for a total of 31,173 verses. And of these verses, there's a large number of promises that occur throughout Scripture. Originally, someone stated that there was about 30,000 promises in the Bible, or that was the consensus that seemed to go for the promises that were there. December 4th, 1956, Time magazine reported about a school teacher in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, named Everett R. Storms, that set about to count the number of promises that were in the Bible. It took him about 18 months to go through and tally up all the promises that he found in the Scripture. And in his tallies that were reported in this Time magazine article, he said there were about 7,487 promises. These are the most important ones that we want to focus on this morning. But there was about 7,487 promises from God to man. There was two from God the Father to God the Son. He found 991 that were from man to God, one man to another. And he found 290 that were from man to God, 21 promises by angels, one promise from a man to an angel, an evil spirit to the Lord, two promises. And Satan made a total of 9 promises, of which, of course, all 9 of the promises that he made were lies. Now, Time reported that the total of that Kitchener reported was 8,810 promises total within the Bible. Now, I added up the numbers that they reported, and it came up to 8,803. So perhaps the news media in 1956 was about as reliable as it is today. But we still get the idea of the number of promises that are found in the Bible. Scripture's filled with promises, and in your outline there's a list of scriptures that we're not going to have time to read this morning. I put them in there if you'd like to take them home and go through them as time permits in the upcoming week. And there's quite, as we said, there's over almost 7,900 promises of God. And we don't have time to go through all those. If we were to undertake a study of those 7,900 promises, we would be going on for a long time. But we find numerous promises in there, including the promise to Abraham that was made in Genesis chapter 12, of the seed, of course, which would be Jesus Christ that was coming. The promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 and 18 of the rock, statement that Peter made upon that statement that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, that he would build his church. We have the promise of salvation found in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, that he who believes and is baptized would be saved. We find the promise of deliverance. This is one of the great promises to Christians, is that of deliverance, a way of escape. He would deliver us from temptation, provide us a way of escape. The promise of provision to the Christian. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God, and that these other things would be added to us. We have the promise made to the Christian that he will hear our petitions and our prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. We have the promise to Christians of rest, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, that all who labor and are heavy laden, that Jesus would give them rest. The promise of justice. God said, Romans chapter 12, verse 19, there Paul said, God said that vengeance was his, that justice would be served. Most wonderfully, we have the promise of grace, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul had asked for things to be removed from him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And to the Christian, we look forward to that crown, as he promised to the church in Smyrna, to be faithful unto death, that he would provide a crown of life. Our scripture reading this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, tells us that God had provided for us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that these great and precious promises were granted to us so that we could become, as Christians, could become partakers of the divine nature. So we can look forward and trust in the promises that Jesus, that God made. And we'll look, as we go through our lesson this morning, we'll look at those, some of those promises and the strength that we can gain from those promises. First, let's go ahead and have our first song, and keep these promises in mind as we sing 598. 598. If it's convenient, we'd ask that you stand. Standing on the promises of Christ, my promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to eternally, my love strong.
as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
First, I want to take a look at what a promise is. The word that we saw translated promises in 2 Peter chapter 1, that were the scriptures that was read, Thayer defines it as to announce that one is about to do or furnish something to promise of one's accord, own accord, to engage voluntarily. So that is the meaning, the primary meaning of the word, that as we're looking to, that God has promised us these promises on his own accord. He didn't have to. It was his free will that allowed that, and his love for us that caused him to do that. These promises that we find in the scripture form a thread, a constant thread from Genesis all the way through Revelation. There are so many people that talk about the alleged contradictions in the scripture, or they talk about changes that God made that he had to make as he came along. But when we look and truly look at the word, we can go through and we can find that the promises form a thread throughout the Old Testament. Going all the way back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, we find that God made a promise to Satan, and in essence to us as well, that through the seed of woman that he would be overcome, the promise of the Messiah. He said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In the story of the flood, God made the promise of the judgment. In Genesis chapter 6 through chapters 9, we see that story of that being established of the flood and the promises that he made in chapter 9 to Noah, that verse 11, that he would never again cut off all flesh by the waters of the flood, and never would there be a flood to destroy the earth, but that there would be a judgment coming. He made a promise to Abram, later named Abraham, that through his seed, that all nations of the earth would be blessed. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. This promise was not to an earthly nation, but of course was the promise of the coming establishment of the church and Jesus Christ coming to the earth, the Messiah. He made a promise to David that his throne would continue. When we look over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that his throne would continue. You know, Saul's throne only lasted a short period of time and God removed him, but David's throne would last forever. Verse 16 of 2 Samuel chapter 7. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Folks tried to make that out to be that this was an earthly kingdom that God was referring to, but God, of course, was referring to the heavenly kingdom. And we see promises of a restoration, a Messiah, a new covenant, and of the Holy Spirit. We saw back the statement that was made back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 to Satan. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This thread ran throughout the Old Testament all the way up to the end. And then as it continued into the New Testament, we find that it continued. These promises were founded upon Christ. Jesus Christ, who was there in the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and came to the earth. And that we are now partakers of that promise as Christians through this very same Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, which states, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Contrary to what the Jews were looking for, God did not establish an earthly kingdom that lasted forever, but everyone was that obeyed was adopted into that kingdom that lasts forever, that promise of Jesus Christ. That promises of David was fulfilled in Christ. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 23. Of this man's offspring, God brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And John was finished, and as John was finished his course, he said, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him the guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring to you the good news that what God promised to the fathers." Over in Acts chapter 26 and verse 6, when Paul was standing before the King Agrippa and providing his defense for the gospel, he made the statement, "And now I stand here on trial because of my hope of the promise made by God of our fathers." Again, Paul in his letter to Romans, speaking of being a servant of Jesus Christ, over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 2, he made the statement which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. We see that that promise was not confined to Israel. Paul expanded on that idea that was realized through the faith of Christ Jesus in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Compare that statement, those statements that he made, to what he said over in Galatians chapter 3. In verse 16, he said, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say, "and to offsprings as of many," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." Verse 19, "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come, to whom the promise had been made, and when it was put in place through angels by an intermediary." In verse 29, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." That spiritual relationship can be had only through Christ. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, "But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Jesus expounded on that new heavens and new earth idea, explaining that in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 5, chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, in verse 5. He says, "For blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And looking into what was meant by that, I looked at several commentaries. E.M. Zur said, to inherit, speaking of inheriting the earth, to inherit is generally defined in the lexicons as to receive by lot. Thayer's definition of this verse is to partake of eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom. Keeping these things in mind, let's sing our next song, 191. And I hope as we go through these thoughts and then sing these songs that it will bring a better understanding to what we are singing. 191.
God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you, or every day, or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
2nd, this morning we're going to take a look at the value of promises. We hear promises every day. As you go through your life, you hear salespeople will make promises to you when you're in a store or somewhere. The teachers will make promises to do things. Politicians are wonderful about making promises. Very few of the promises that they make will be delivered. And even family members will make promises to you. We have to look at the integrity of the one that is making the promise. So we consider the integrity of God and the promises that he made. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says that God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are assured of his promises through his integrity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. In Hebrews chapter 6, going through from verses 13 through verse 20, the Hebrews writer there defending the certainty of God's promises. He says in verse 18 that it is impossible for God to lie. When we hear a promise, we have to judge the ability of the one who promises. How can we do that? Their character. Someone makes a promise to us that is kind of a shady character, we usually don't put much faith in that promise that we make. Circumstances will sometimes get in the way of promises. We've all made promises that we've had to break because of whatever, whether it be sickness or weather or things come up. They sometimes hinder promises that we make. But we have, in assessing God's ability to fulfill His promises, we realize that He cannot fail. Genesis chapter 17, God had made the promise to Abraham already, to Abram, that his seed, through his seed would the earth be blessed. Abraham and Sarah began to think that maybe that promise was not going to come to true. But chapter 17 and verse 1 of the book of Genesis says, when Abram was 99 years old, then did the Lord appear to him and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me, be blameless. He made that promise again. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 7, we see that nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, nothing will be impossible with God. The ability to God fulfills his to fulfill his promises is confirmed by the resurrection. In Acts chapter 17, it says, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he hath appointed. Now, how do we know that? What is the thing that tells us that promise that he has made will come true? He says, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The past history of someone that makes a promise to you, you will help a lot of times to determine whether they will fulfill their promise. I'll pay you back. I used to say I don't loan people money because it gives them amnesia. I did break that a couple of years ago. Loan someone some money to help her out for her child's birthday, allegedly. I didn't get my money back. Later, I found out neither did about three other people that loaned her more money than I did. But we can judge someone by their past actions. You know, when someone says, I will not hurt you, right after they've hurt you, is maybe make us skeptical of their ability to fulfill the promise. Politicians tell us, I won't raise your taxes. Then what do they do? What did they do a couple of years ago with our gas tax here in this state after promising us that they would not do so? The question we have to ask when we're considering whether God can fulfill His promises, has He ever failed? Resoundingly, no, God has never failed from His promises. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. The Lord, Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm chapter 89, beginning in verse 5. Let the Lord of heaven praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly to the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. God is faithful. He is able to fulfill his promises. He has fulfilled all the promises that he has made that have come to pass. So with those thoughts in mind, let us consider the surety of our promises as we sing 2, 4, 8. 2, 4, 8.
How firm a foundation, ye say, is of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only desire thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not deserve to his foes. That soul through all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Finally, we want to consider the expression of God's faithfulness in his promises and how they're expressed to us. The gospel message is the expression of the faithfulness of God. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised us before the ages began. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23 gives us the idea that it ensures the trust in God. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy places of the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through the flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God's faithfulness is connected to his position as creator of the world. We can be assured that because he created the world, that we can trust in his faithfulness. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to the faithful Creator while doing good. Once again, while we consider the faithfulness of God through song, and praise him through song, let's keep those things in mind as we sing 603. 603. Sweet is the promise, I will not forget thee. Nothing can molest or turn my soul away. Though the night be dark within the valley, just beyond is shining an eternal day. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee. Trusting the promise, I will not forget thee. Onward will I go with songs of joy and love. Though earth
I shall be remembered in my home above. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee. When at the golden portals I am standing, all my tribulations, all my sorrows pass. How sweet to hear the blessed proclamation, enter faithful servant, welcome home at last. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee.
God's word is filled with promises, just as the song that we sung, that he would not forget us. But if we want to receive those promises, we have to be in Christ. Those promises, contrary to what folks throughout the religious world and throughout the world may try to convince you that I'm okay, you're okay, we're all going to be okay. We must be in Christ to receive those promises. God is faithful to fulfill his promises. Those that have the idea, I'll never forget when I first heard the idea that God had to change his plan because he had a plan and the Jews rejected that plan, so God had to step back and come up with another plan. That's not a God. I was taken aback the first time I heard that. That's not a God that I want to place my trust in. One that cannot fulfill his promises. But when we look at the thread from Genesis chapter 3 or even Genesis chapter 1 all the way through the book of Revelation, we see that thread is continuous. That God did not fail, but that was the plan there along. How can one become a part of those promises and receive those promises? Romans chapter 10 verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word of God this morning if you've not obeyed. John chapter 8 and verse 24 tells us, Jesus said that we must believe in him or we would die in our sins. Luke chapter 13 verse 3, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 tells us to confess him before men and that he will confess us before the Father who is in heaven. And then we don't have to look at and come up with a new plan. Try to figure out what we need to do. We can look back to the day that the church was established when the people were cut to the heart on the day of Pentecost. Said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus for remission of sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, this promise is for you and that for all that the Lord God will call. So it was to continue to eternity till Jesus comes again. And of course, we must remain faithful. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, as Christians, we have that avenue for confession of sin, that if we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If you need prayer for any reason, we can offer that to you. Whatever your need may be this morning, won't you come while we sing 762. 762.